Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments for the week. That which you're seeking is causing you to seek. As long as you're looking outward, you're looking in the wrong direction. From the key, and the name of the key is willingness. For this assignment, you will need a large piece of paper and some colored pens and pencils. At the beginning of the week, draw a large circle on this paper. This circle represents the key, willingness. Set aside some time to reflect on the key as you experience it. How do you hear the still small voice in your life? Does it use words? If so, what does it say? Do you have a sense of how it calls to you, draws you to it, sustains your search for it, reminds you of your intrinsic purity? How do you feel its magnetic attraction? Does it have a color, an emotional tone, a location where it's most tangible for you? How does it communicate its guidance? How are you aware of its mysterious power weaving through your life? Tune into what brings you to the cushion, inspires you to pick up the recorder, encourages you to participate in group, invites you to dance, and impels you to choose willingness over unwillingness. Fill in the circle as you record and reflect about how willingness shows up through you. Use the space outside the circle to jot down any voices of unwillingness that surface during this exercise. Assignment 2. Unwillingness usually arises when we make a practice commitment to unseat the ego. To have a direct experience of willingness, what's here when I isn't? Here is a final assignment. Would you teach a child to love by hating, beating, and rejecting it, or by lovingly guiding it to experience its inherent goodness? We are all children who can find our own inherent goodness, that goodness that is us through loving kindness. From the key, and the name of the key is willingness. Find the key, the willingness to be kind to yourself no matter what ego I says. Whenever the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate begin their refrain, redirect attention to the Buddha nature within. Do that by picking up the recorder and saying something affectionate, gentle, encouraging, reassuring, and kind, affirming that you love the human being receiving this message. If it is helpful, recall that practice is kanodoku, call and response. If you are the mother hen guiding the baby chick to discover the love that you are, how would you be? How would you talk to, treat, and relate to the innocence that is whittling away at the barrier to love so that it might be reunited with the love that it is? You're welcome to set alarms so the practice of the joy of intelligence knowing itself is conscious and deliberate. When the timer goes off, practice being the loving kindness that you are. At the end of the day, RL your practice of the key. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hello, Sherry.
Can you hear Hello. Me? Who's this?
This is Anne from England. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. You sound a little froggy.
Yeah, I'm practicing the Sherry Huber Cure, and I don't.
Good for you.
I'm not working today, so I can call in. So
resting.
As part of the resting, I listened to The Key, the book The Key, last night, and oh my God, I was blown away. I was like, what? Is that your first book, Sherry?
That was number one. I've always said I should have quit with it. What do you think?
Oh my God. I know your other books are amazing, but you really didn't need to. That's an amazing book. Oh my God. And I loved at the end when you said, and now start all over at the beginning again. And I'm like, guys, it's just beautiful. So I'm really calling to say thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful summer of Sangha. Thank you, everyone in Sangha. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Jen. It's been an amazing year, and it's profoundly changed my life. Mm-hmm. And doing this practice this week felt like a huge mandala with everything. There wasn't enough space inside the circle for the And at the center of the circle is the awareness and acceptance and unconditional love. And, the only thing that was outside was ego.
Yeah, lurking.
No, in many forms, but you really could just use one word, and keep it simple. Mm-hmm. All the guidance you gave me during the summer, oh my God, I followed every bit of it. I thought the guidance is there for a reason, so I listened to my recordings over and over again and made all the suggestions that you very kindly offered, and it's changed my life again. Constantly my life evolves, and just wonderful things have been happening, and I'm just so grateful. So grateful.
Good. I'm very glad. It's inspired you to take good care of yourself when you're not feeling well, and that's a lovely thing too, isn't it?
Yeah. It completely just letting everything drop and be acceptance. Acceptance is a big word for me. It's such an important. It resonates with me so much. Acceptance, no matter what, and with the kindness and the love and the gratitude that comes with that. So, writing this year.
Yes, and the last one that she read, the assignment about the mother hen and the baby chick, and I can't remember the word that she used, but that image of that little person in there just diligently chipping away, trying to, and what you're describing reminds me of that, and the tenderness that we feel toward that person who's working so hard to reach that authenticity that we are, so that the suffering can stop and there can be kindness and compassion and joy in a life instead of suffering. So,
and taking in the good that comes with that, the good in everybody else doing the, what's that lovely peace quote? Be kind to everyone, because they're too fighting an inner battle. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but I love that quote so much.
All right. We'll keep taking care of you.
Thank you, and thanks to everybody.
Go happy.
Thanks, Ben. Let me just find her in the queue, Sherry. Hang on here 1 second. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Sean from Regina, Saskatchewan.
Hey, Sean.
Hello. It's been far too long, a little bit of content. Unexpectedly, my 87-year-old father found himself unable to walk and had to have surgery, and it was as successful as it could have been, but it appears that he's going to be in a wheelchair for the remainder of his life, and it's my mom and I taking care of him. So I've been very preoccupied with that content and just needing to, so I've been away, but as you were reading at the front, it was that small voice said, my gosh, you have to call in. But I am feeling very, inadequate as a caregiver as an only child compared to, you know, what my parents did for me. And I'm like, I got work, I got other things to do, and, you know, and, but then feeling bad about that. So just, yeah, lots of feels, maybe not particularly on topic to today's topic, but just wanted to call, do Q practice, check in, listen to the other wonderful things that everybody at Sangha has to say, and know that I've been a little bit away, but I know that if I continue to trust in Sangha and trust in this process, I will find a way through.
Well, and basically articulating the assignment, right? Because there's a circle of willingness within which we're going to put in all the love and care and the attention that is being brought to a parent who needs your assistance. And we could say, Sean, that everything else can go outside the circle, right? You're in that sense of inadequacy, the sense of all of those things, because all they are is a conversation added to the love that is being called forth in the situation. Because in the midst of all of it, there is still the bowing to that still small voice, a bowing to the awareness that there are mirrors here for you that reflect the willingness rather than the unwillingness. Because that conversation is simply reflecting what you're not, what you can't do, what is not enough, why you're not enough, rather than holding a mirror that basically shows you all of what is true, right?
That's really, speaking of reflecting, that's really, I really appreciate you reflecting that back. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Yes, I'm feeling very inadequate and less than, and yes, a disappointment. So yes, that's...
Well, the disappointment, I mean, it's such an interesting place, right, Sean, because we are in some ways trusting something way beyond that little me to hold us through this process, right? It's faith, it's trust, it's the mystery of the unknown that we can't grasp. And that does give us that sense of true humility versus that false humility of, I'm supposed to know what to do, I'm supposed to have all these answers, and I don't. Which is sort of why we're in this process of drawing the circle, because we want to discern what's appropriately inside the circle that we actually want to attend to and what's outside the circle that we don't have to attend to at all.
That sounds great. And as you can tell, I have not done the assignment, but now I am a bit more motivated to go back and do that.
But if I may, Sean, I think you just did the assignment, right? That's what I was pointing to, that you didn't sit down and draw the circle, but we just did the assignment.
That's true. Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So,
and of course, that doesn't mean you can't get a piece of paper and a pencil and colored pencil and support that human incarnation through this process, through the situation that is clearly challenging, and do exactly that. Keep attention on the willingness that you keep articulating, and everything that says you're unwilling, put it outside the circle. It doesn't have to accompany you through this process of love.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Take care and stay close.
Okay. Thank you.
That was wonderful, and I love that. My favorite part is that kind of giggle of delight when we see it. You know, when it all becomes clear in the way that happened with you too. It's and the. That the realization of living the assignment. Yes, mm-hmm. You know, it's wonderful to have the piece of paper and do all of that, but not to be talked into believing that if that didn't happen, then you're not actually living the assignment, which is what you two got to make very clear. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Jacqueline from the Central Coast.
Hello, Jacqueline. What are you seeing?
Hi, Sherry. I had an interesting thing I saw a couple of days ago. I have these thoughts and feelings that run through my head. No surprise there, right? But this one that I've been working with is one that comes up, a thought will run, you know, just fly by as they do, and it's something uncomfortable. And what comes up in my head is just a sword trying to stab me in the head. Very uncomfortable, and it runs all the time with things in the last month, things I think I should be doing or not getting to, or what, some discontent there with some voice in my head. And so I've just been watching it and watching it. And then, and I've been seeing, you know, you go through a whole bunch of things. You're like, well, this is really dumb because, I mean, it can't do anything. It's just in my head, right? You know, it seems so completely silly, you know, because it doesn't even exist. And so then I was watching that. And then one morning, a couple days ago, as I was watching it, I was laying in bed after I woke up, and I was watching it, and I was just seeing, you know, that it's just this thought in there that doesn't exist and is really apropos of nothing. And then in a flash, I just saw, oh, just like everything else. It's just, it's all just an abstract workspace that doesn't have anything to do with actual reality. And I don't actually need to worry about any of it. It's not just this little sword thingy that's trying to kill me all the time, which is, I mean, patently absurd, is completely absurd, but it was so helpful because it was so absurd, because that allowed me to look at everything differently.
Yes, 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 because you're looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you weren't, then you could spend a lifetime being stabbed in that way. Lots of folks do. Lots of folks are. I mean, it's a different, you know, whatever it is that comes at a person is unique to that person because that's the thing that they'll suffer over, right? But, and so for you, it's this sword thing. And you are absolutely correct that the secret to the whole thing is that it is an abstract, did you call it a workspace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the equivalent of a suffering room, right? And when we go into that suffering room, we suffer because that's what's happening in there. And the reason that it's happening in there is that we're giving it attention. So you're right. When we withdraw attention from that process, not just this sword thingy in your head, but from anything that is made up, when we withdraw attention from it, it ceases to exist because it doesn't exist. We only think it does, believe it does, because we're attending to it and making it appear real.
Yeah. It's, I mean, now I keep looking at that all day long, every day now, for the last couple of days, because it's so interesting. And what's so amazing about it is that I have that experience, and so I know that that's true. I saw it. But yet, I watch myself believe the stuff in my head all the time,
yes.
constantly.
Yes, when attention is on it. We are always having whatever experience we're attending to. And so if you're attending to the nonsense in your head, which is all part of the workspace, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're mm-hmm. attending to that, it seems to be real, and so you believe it. Then you redirect. That's why redirecting attention is everything. You redirect attention away from that and back to this here now, and that ceases to exist. And, of course, the voice in your head is going to be screaming, no, no, Jacqueline, it's real. You have to solve that problem. You have to figure that out. That's real. You stay right in this here now, and it's not real. You realize it's not real. I have to give it reality, and I am withholding reality from made-up stuff.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a lot of work.
Well, I'm going to suggest it can be a lot of good time. It can be a lot of fun and interesting because you have the process. Okay. Now it's just applying the process to all kinds of things that ego wants to bring to you and say, but this is real. Now you can't deny this is real. So if we think of it as work, it becomes something we have to do. And what you described very clearly that has been successful is you just watch it. All you're doing is noticing, and that can be very relaxing and entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. It is with the swords because, I don't know, I'm at heart, I like to have fun, you know, and so why not have fun with this?
Might as well enjoy your life then. Why not?
Yeah. I'm here. Might as well.
Might as well. All right.
Thank
Keep
you.
Keep us posted. Thank you. Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jacqueline. And Jerry, here's the thing that was dropping in for me around that is that place of now we recruit the willingness to have fun with it.
Yes, right? Instead of letting ego make it work.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to drag us back up into the workspace.
Mm-hmm.
All of
yes.
this is going to mm-hmm. be a lot of work. No, it's not. It's mm-hmm. going to be a lot mm-hmm. of really
fun.
Interesting, happy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Eleanor in Georgia.
Hey, Eleanor.
Hey. So I think one thing that really touched me on a call this week was the discussion about tenderness and almost sensitivity, and that just kind of resonates with life. And the way I've been seeing that is, I guess it just falls into the other processes of what I've seen the most in the last month is, and it's kind of a call, I see it as a life calling me back, is when I can pause the story or turn away from what the urgency or the story in my head. You know, I've seen it a lot with planning lately. You know, this needs to happen, that needs to happen, and it doesn't. And the joy that comes from seeing that and letting it turn into redirecting the attention. And then the amazing thing is that things get taken care of. If I can just get out of the way, it drops in or it happens and it's, you know, it's creating a problem that didn't exist. And I've just been real aware of that. And every time things work out, I'm really noticing it. I think that's the thankfulness I have to life. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I'm here and that's happening. And so that seems to be life supporting me is what it feels like.
Yes. Yes. So I project, right, I don't know, for the longest time, the attention is on what's not working, right? And how that,
yeah,
how I need to make it work, how I need to make it work. That's the, as our last conversation, the workspace we inhabit, literally workspace, right? It's the working space.
Uh-huh.
I have to do, because the presumption is it's what's not working and
that's
what
right
needs to be fixed and what's wrong. And so you spend a large amount of life practicing turning attention to just noticing, to be aware of it. And then we get to the place where we're sufficiently disidentified from it that we can say, oh, not that, and redirect attention to how it is, where everything works, everything gets done, and there's just that exquisite place of turning to and recognizing and relaxing into the lovingness that is, right? The acceptance that is.
That's exactly
a release,
that's exactly
almost
it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
And the so some part wants to say that building that muscle and that practice is what has allowed that to happen, you know. And then
undoubtedly,
then I guess undoubtedly. Thank you. Because ego wanted to come in and act like it was something weird about that, but
mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly, there's no doubt that that's where, and the faith is grows,
mm-hmm.
but the practice is what allows that to happen. So I am very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
What an
encounter with our own willingness, right, Eleanor?
Yes.
We don't claim.
That's been one of my favorite of the beads, is the key. You know, it's always willingness is what comes back to me. So, for wonderful, I'm just grateful for all this practice. Thank you.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Sherry, can we
try
one more caller? Yes, I do.
Oh, why
here
not?
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Melody from Hawaii.
Hey, Melody.
Hey.
What are you seeing? Aloha. What are you seeing?
Aloha. I just wanted to share this morning how this whole year has been for me. And I'll try to do that in a few words, but basically I was working on my suffering around my daughter and her addictions. And
mm-hmm.
Everything we did this year, like even at SWIM, well, I kept working on that, all the classes and working with the mentor, and it just grew and grew out of complete love and compassion for her and gratitude that she, all the things she's taught me. So what I really see is that how much I appreciate this life and just to let it be how it is. I wouldn't change a thing because I wouldn't be here, you know, right now. And it has really, my relationship with her this year has really grown into just letting it be. And it's been really beautiful. It's beautiful right now, you know. So
both of you being able to simply be as you are with unconditional love. That's it. And the thing that I appreciate so much about what you're pointing us toward is that you have this place of suffering in your life. And I'm going to project that that place of suffering colored everything in your life, because this is a primary relationship and it wasn't happy. And there was much suffering that went with it. And so you took that on to apply every single thing in awareness practice. Everything you saw, everything you heard, everything you realized to mm-hmm. to moving that relationship from suffering to unconditional love.
Exactly.
And,
that's
what happened.
Yes. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So,
it's just really mm-hmm. important for us all to realize that what ego wants us to do is focus on this for a little while, and then over there on that, and then, well, what about that? Well, but what are you going to do about that? Well, yeah, mm-hmm. but there's this problem too. And what you realized is, no, the central theme here is this relationship and how everything in my life is tied in with that. Every way I am manifests, shows up in this relationship and my approach to it. And so I'm going to take that on, and I'm going to address it and turn it around until it is what I choose it to be. And we have the ability to do that. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
So, good
thank
on you.
You.
Well, yeah. I'm very happy for you, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank
all
you
right.
for the whole year.
Thank you.
Gosho.
Mm-hmm. Gosho.
Thanks, Melody. And Sherry, this is so such a difficult thing to articulate, but there's a way in which whatever it is, whatever structure that does not allow us to escape what puts us in touch with unwillingness is really what is there to aid us in our liberation, right? It's so hard to arrive there, but that is the arrival.
Do you mean that kind of thing where a relationship is so difficult and painful? How can that be the source or the route to my
yes.
well-being, right? How
yes.
can that? How can something so awful take me to unconditional love? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that apparently can, right?
Yeah.
Because we can't escape
yeah.
it. I don't want it.
Yes.
I don't want to face it. I don't want to do anything with it. And
yeah.
yes, that is
yeah.
the structure of the wisdom of no escape that drops us
yeah.
into something that is unconditional, right?
Yeah. 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 Yes, because when the heart opens and I can embrace this, it, this
mm-hmm.
in unconditional love, everything mm-hmm. is available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. One more day.
Go happy.
Huh?
I know.
Go happy.
One more day.